You're tuned in to the Kojo Namdi Show. I'm Mark Fisher from The Washington Post, sitting in for Kojo. This week, Discovery Communications, the company that owns the TV channels TLC, Animal Planet, and Discovery, announced that they will close and sell their Silver Spring headquarters. Discovery, which employs 1,300 people here, was the spark plug in the redevelopment of Silver Spring over the past two decades. And as it leaves, people are wondering about what its absence might mean for the area. Joining us to discuss this are Dan Reed. He's a columnist for Washingtonian, an urban planner, and a real estate agent in Silver Spring. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Kathy Stevens is executive director of the Montgomery Coalition for Adult English Literacy. She's a resident of Silver Spring and a community leader there. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So, Dan Reed, why, after 17 years in Silver Spring, is Discovery leaving now?
Well, they say that because of a changing media climate, they need to relocate to other communities. You know, the New York is sort of the center for global media right now, so that's where the global headquarters is going. And Discovery bought Scripps Networks last year, and their headquarters is in Knoxville, so that's where the U.S. headquarters is going to go.
And why does it matter? What has Discovery meant to Silver Spring?
You know, growing up in downtown Silver Spring, it's hard for me to convey how much the area has changed over the past 30 years. But the one thing I can say, it was it was not sought after, to be kind, right? And Discovery provided a much-needed jolt in the arm, both in terms of the economy, but also in terms of reputation. Like, this was a place that was a legitimate area for doing business. Because of Discovery.
Kathy Stevens, as a longtime Silver Spring resident, you have a good sense of what Discovery has meant to that place. Maybe Dan was being even a little kind. Downtown Silver Spring was something of a dump before Discovery came along, and the whole idea of luring Discovery there from Bethesda was to turn that around. Mm-hmm. Did that work?
I think it did. I think it was a large part of a very complex puzzle to revitalize, reinvigorate Silver Spring, you know, about 20 years ago. I think it's an important piece of that puzzle. Discovery's been a great community player, in my opinion. We've worked, those of us in the nonprofit community, the organization has always reached out and done a lot for nonprofits. They're a good philanthropic partner. They're a great business partner. They're a great place for women to work and raise families. At the same time, we have a lot of resources in Silver Spring, particularly with our people. So, while it goes hand in hand, and yes, this is a big loss, I think the moment is here for us to realize how important they are and were, and thank them and appreciate and understand why they're moving on, and look at the rest of our assets and the rest of our resources.
Dan Reed, what is likely to happen now to Silver Spring, put your crystal ball out there, without Discovery and without the Maryland Parks and Planning offices, which are also leaving downtown?
You know, short term, I am very nervous about a lot of the local businesses and restaurants in Silver Spring. You know, Discovery has attracted a number of film and TV production companies that depended on them, and I think they're going to see some pain. And I think local restaurants who depended on the foot traffic from Discovery and Park and Planning are going to hurt for a little while. In the long term, I do see a really awesome opportunity to re-envision what happens with this land. It's at the heart of downtown Silver Spring. And you know, before the Discovery building was there, there was four city blocks of shops and businesses that the county condemned and relocated to make room for it. So there's a lot of stuff that could go in that bag, if you will.
And Kathy Stevens, how dependent do you think at this point downtown Silver Spring is on the retail and restaurant traffic from the big daytime employers as opposed to evening visitors who may have nothing to do with those big employers?
I think it's a mix, and I think this is the point in the conversation where I'd like to see our elected leaders, those running to be elected leaders, and our business leaders get feet on the ground into our community and have those conversations with, as Dan said, the owners of the businesses, whether it's a small local business or a larger chain restaurant, to really hear and understand from the people who live and work and have businesses in the community so that we can have a wide open conversation about what are the short-term effects and how do we work together to address those? And then what are some long-term opportunities? Local business leaders, local business owners, I should say, might have some really great ideas that those sitting in an office in Rockville or Annapolis, wherever they might be, really that face-to-face conversation, I think, needs to happen soon.
We're joined now on the phone by David Levy. He's the Chief Corporate Operations and Communications Officer for Discovery Communications. David Levy, welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
So we have a tweet here from listener Ethan who says, corporate incentives need to include clawback provisions if they break their promises to our communities. We can't continue operating at the whim of corporate leaders chasing better deals. What do you say to Ethan and others who feel that the millions of dollars that Maryland and Montgomery County put into bringing Discovery to Silver Spring is now perhaps money not well spent?
Well, it's a big public policy debate, and you see this going on with Amazon now and moving their corporate headquarters. I can't put myself into policymakers in Annapolis or in D.C., but it's very competitive to attract these big corporations like an Amazon, like a Discovery, and communities weigh the decisions about the economic vitality and the spending power and the job creation that those companies bring to a community versus the incentives that they're offered. I think for us, that those dollars for a big billion-dollar corporation aren't the deciding factor, right? I mean, you have, I think for us, a wonderful community in Montgomery County and Silver Spring. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to call in today, because I think some of the debate has been about the business climate in Montgomery County. The business climate in Montgomery County is exceptional. Montgomery County is an excellent place to do business. We've loved being in Maryland these last 30 years in Silver Spring, and you know, some of the other commentary is right on in terms of our commitment to the local restaurants, our philanthropic partners. We have a purpose-driven company and culture, and so we very much value and put a lot of emphasis on community relations. For us, the larger question is not necessarily incentives or the business climate, but it's really the changing media industry. Obviously, Mark, you know that very well from your role here at NPR and the Post. TV's been the last kind of bastion of media to be disrupted. Print and music were a little bit earlier in the turn of the century, but the disruption from direct-to-consumer and streaming and the broadband connectivity has really put a lot of pressure on a lot of media companies. And I think the best example that illustrates that is Rupert Murdoch and Fox selling to Disney. You know, he and his team evaluated that they didn't have enough scale or reach and needed to partner with Disney. And so Fox and Rupert Murdoch didn't think they have enough reach and scale in today's world. You can see how other media companies, you know, are challenged. And so for us, we're trying to reinvent the company and trying to move and pivot into this direct-to-consumer world. And so part of that necessitates how do you evolve your cost structure? How do you evolve right. your legacy infrastructure for the new world? And so that is kind of the painful process we're trying to go through now and reinvent it ourselves for that new world. And that's looked to by Scripps and some of the other changes that we're making.
David Levy is a executive at Discovery Communications, which is leaving downtown Silver Spring and moving much of its operations to New York and some to Tennessee as well. You can join our conversation at 1-800-433-8850 to let us know if you think Discovery has been a good neighbor in Silver Spring, what you think of how downtown Silver Spring has changed, and what lessons there are to be learned about corporate investment and redevelopment. And David Levy, last year, Discovery completed some renovations on that big headquarters in Silver Spring, cost about $10 million. And some of that money, Maryland had promised a $650,000 loan on the condition that the employees stay in Silver Spring. And Montgomery County had issued a $375,000 grant to help fund the renovation. So why leave so soon after that renovation? And was that public money actually received and spent?
No. So we won't qualify for those incentives. It is really the acceleration of the disruption in the media industry at large and then our acquisition of Scripps. So that was in August, and clearly we wouldn't have invested more if we knew some of the acquisitions and changes that will, you know, led us to where we are today. But I think it shows that, you know, our commitment had really been to stay for as long as we can, and we have I think, you know, we're all proud of being a part of the revitalization of Silver Spring. And if you look back really where it was 20 years ago today, it has come so far. And I think it rivals Bethesda in its dynamicism.
And do you think this is the big white building in the center of downtown Silver Spring? There's obviously a lot of concern now that it not become a white elephant. Is Discovery doing anything to help with that effort? And do you all own the building outright? So is it your interest to find a new owner?
Yes. Yeah, we own the building outright, and we will put the building on the market and work very closely with the economic development teams at Montgomery County to find a suitable suitor for the building. We announced the decision very early on. So we will be in this building for the rest of this year and into 19. Our view was we wanted to give employees as much time and be as transparent as we can for to make their own decisions and for their family and their careers. Our deal with Scripps hasn't even closed yet. We know that we'll be there through the rest of this year. And I would just add one little point, Mark, that we're not leaving Montgomery County or the greater Washington area. We are selling this one large corporate headquarter building, but we will have what we're calling a network creative hub that will remain most likely in Montgomery County, that will house a number of our network and creative leadership. We will build out our technical facility. We have a state-of-the-art technical operations in Sterling, Virginia, and Northern Virginia, and a number of the jobs that are based in the building in Silver Spring we have today will move out to Northern Virginia. So we're not leaving the greater Washington area or Montgomery County completely.
Okay. David Levy, thank you very much. David Levy is the Chief Corporate Operations and Communications Officer for Discovery Communications. When we come back after a short break, we'll continue our conversation with Dan Reed and Kathy Stevens, looking at what Silver Spring has become thanks to Discovery and whether it can keep those improvements going forward. I'm Mark Fisher. This is the Kojo Namdi Show.
This month at WAMU, we're lifting our voices to shine a light on Black changemakers throughout American history. Some you know and some you don't, but they all change the world. Hear the stories of these incredible scientists, activists, artists, and more throughout February on WAMU 88.5 and streaming at WAMU.org.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Fisher from The Washington Post in for Kojo Namdi, and we are talking about the impact of Discovery Channels leaving downtown Silver Spring, talking with Dan Reed, columnist for Washingtonian and an urban planner and real estate agent in Silver Spring, and Kathy Stevens, executive director of the Montgomery Coalition for Adult English Literacy, a longtime Silver Spring activist. And Dan Reed, when Discovery came to Silver Spring, it was coming from downtown Bethesda. And downtown Bethesda not only survived the loss of Discovery, but grew quite considerably after that departure. Is there an analogy to be made to Silver Spring and its ability to bounce back now?
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, I think Silver Spring is a very different place than when Discovery came 15 years ago. And I think we have a large job center. It's a very increasingly popular area for people to live who want that urban lifestyle. I think the challenge is that, you know, Montgomery County's job center still really is Bethesda in the I-270 corridor, and Silver Spring has long lagged behind that. We still have a higher vacancy rate and a lot of office space that needs to be filled. And this could potentially discourage people from coming to Silver Spring. And I think it's really incumbent on the county's Economic Development Corporation to really step up their game in marketing Silver Spring as a location for businesses.
And Kathy Stevens, Silver Spring has changed so markedly since Discovery came in, since AFI, the movie theater, came in. And it's now not just a business area. It's really become a lively evening area with pedestrians, people, a mix of people of every possible ethnicity, age group, economic group. How did that happen, and can it be sustained?
That is the big question, right? Because that's one of the things that so many businesses and people who live in Silver Spring, those are the reasons they choose to locate there, whether they're living or working there. And I think you know, tied in with Dan's point about marketing Silver Spring, we need to think about and recognize the Transit Center, which was recently completed, albeit with a lot of shadow over it, but that is the second largest transit center in Maryland. That's a marketing point. The new arena that's being built, that's a marketing point, and it's going to be a great benefit. And having those things available affordably so that we can retain all of the assets in our community, all of the businesses, all of the people, that is the crux. And I work with people who are trying to learn English so that they can get jobs, maintain jobs, do better at their jobs, help kids in school, make and continue their communities here. It is important for me to know that all of those folks are involved in continuing to think about what the community, what the people in the community need and want, and that will continue.
Let's hear from Mac in Silver Spring. Mac, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. So I live about a quarter of a mile from the Discovery Channel building, and as those of you that know Silver Spring probably know pretty well, you go from a very dense urbanized area into single-family homes very quickly. And we really love having found Silver Spring as a home. We've been there for about 6 years now, and there's so much to do downtown. There's so much enrichment for our large family. One of the things that we've seen lagging, though, is a true integration of that neighborhood surrounding downtown Silver Spring with the urban core. It seems like a lot of our city planning has focused on bringing commuters in. A lot of our planning has focused on, you know, parking spaces and how we make it convenient for people to come from the outer suburbs to work, but there's not really as much of a focus on building complete streets, having, you know, a safer, walkable area. We had dockless bikes come to the D.C. area just a couple months ago, and if you walk around downtown Silver Spring, they're everywhere. If you go into the neighborhood, they're everywhere, and that's proof that our residential area is just within arm's reach of what could be a very dense urban center. So if we want to thicken that downtown area, if we want it to become more successful, I live on Wayne Avenue, which has a laughably under-enforced 25-mile-an-hour speed limit. I have, you know, five kids. We go to the local elementary and middle schools. If we want people to see it as a desirable neighborhood, we need them to feel safe as they walk up and down the street. So we'd like to see more bike lanes. We'd like to see more complete streets, more room for, you know, buses to pull out of traffic.
So. Okay. Thanks, Mac. So, Dan, is Silver Spring still lacking when it comes to all these transportation traffic amenities?
Oh, absolutely. I ride my bike everywhere in Silver Spring, and I'm usually alone. And I'd like that to change. You know, the county has made tremendous strides in improving its bike and pedestrian environment, but we have so much farther to go. It's increasingly a competitive issue when it comes to both how Silver Spring competes with other neighborhoods within the region for businesses and residents, and also between other cities, too.
Other places in our region have seen longtime residents displaced when development happens on a large scale. How did Silver Spring manage to create this lively, diverse downtown? And do you think it will remain attractive to other large companies? Can you foresee a big company coming into that big white building there, which you've called staggeringly anti-urban?
I think one of Silver Spring's strengths is that we have continued to build and grow over the years and have accommodated new residents, whether they come from the next neighborhood over or from another country, with open arms. You know, we've allowed people to come here by building lots of housing, and I hope we continue that, especially in the coming years. I hope that other companies will see Silver Spring as an attractive place to live, but I think the challenge with Silver Spring and with the county as a whole is trying to figure out how to brand itself. What is it? You know, Discovery is moving their offices to a place that is known as a global media hub and also an awesome place to live. That's New York. And also to a place also known as a nice place to live and is very affordable, which is Knoxville. Montgomery County is kind of in the middle. It's neither cheap enough nor prestigious enough as a location. You know, what are we going to be instead?
Kathy Stevens, we have an email from Michael who says, to be clear, Discovery's CEO has not ever lived in the region or in downtown Silver Spring. This is big as he cannot understand the pain for the workers of the downtown.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. They have a fairly new CEO, if I recall correctly. The founding CEO retired about 3-4 years ago. And that might be a good point. I wonder, though, if we can't look at this the CEO has many, I run a small business compared to Discovery, there are many competing factors that have to go into your decision making. And I think I just wanted to finish picking up on a point that Dan and the prior caller had made in terms of the walkability and bikeability of Silver Spring. This is a moment to take and recalibrate a lot of things and recognize the investments that are being made. I live close enough to one of our great assets in Silver Spring Tacoma Park campus of Montgomery College. Huge asset. We want to educate our young people to stay in the community, and Montgomery College is doing that. And the bike path that's being redone to connect, I guess, the Capitol Crescent Trail, these things that are already in progress. So I think we need to look at the assets that we're already investing in. And I think, I guess I see it a little bit differently than Dan. Maybe some of those are already there, and maybe we need to do a different job communicating and pulling in different residents who would use them, figure out how they would use them. That might be an issue.
Let's hear now from Ivy in Alexandria. Ivy, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much. I live about half a mile from downtown Silver Spring in a single family area. One of the things we've noticed, and we're relatively new residents, I think 2 years, one of the things we've noticed about downtown Silver Spring is that it tends to be focused on sort of the big box stores and the chains. And I think that probably doesn't help Silver Spring. I think it would be helpful to have more independent businesses, more boutiques, more small restaurants, and that kind of thing that builds more of a sense of energy and community.
Dan Reed, there are a number of chain stores, but there's also Silver Spring is one of the major hubs for small ethnic restaurants, for example.
That's
in the region.
Very true.
I invite Ivy to visit one of our 23 Ethiopian restaurants, one of our 15 coffee shops, only four of which are chains. Any number of the local clothing stores or hair and nail places or office stuff. We have a lot of local businesses.
Local businesses. I think of IBI Office Interiors, where I buy my office furniture. Those things are there. It might not be the kind of business that someone goes into on a daily basis. But I will say the owners of City Place really recently – it's not called City Place anymore. I'm sorry. I'm showing that.
Ellsworth Place.
I've been in Silver Spring over 20
years. It'll always be City Place in the hearts of millions.
I've been in Silver Spring for 20 years, so that dates me. You know, there has been a lot of work done to because some people, believe it or not, are calling for some bigger stores so that they don't have to go to Rockville Pike or up to the Target in Wheaton to get their things. So I think Michaels came in and some other things. So I think it is a mix. And I encourage anyone, in addition to Ivy, there's so many places where you currently can make your voice heard. I think of the Silver Spring Citizens Advisory Board, Urban District, Chamber of Commerce, some of the neighborhood associations, and certainly appreciate any and all of the calls and comments today.
But, Dan, we've seen a kind of an evolution in recent years where so many shopping areas, indoor malls, but also downtowns, are in trouble because people are just not shopping in stores the way they once did. And Silver Spring being a place that was kind of new to this sort of success, is it therefore more endangered than other more established retail areas might be?
You know, I think what we've seen in changing retail trends is that people are increasingly desiring experience, authenticity, a sense of community. And those are three things that Silver Spring has really excelled at compared to other shopping malls, both indoor and outdoor in the region. You know, it has been a regional shopping area for 80 years, if not longer. And with that, I think, comes a sense of history and a sense of place that is really hard to find in a lot of places in the D.C. area and is a real asset for us to build on as we try to attract more businesses in the future.
We have a note from listener who says, I wonder if one of the reasons Discovery is leaving is because of the homeless people who sleep outside the building. Dan, any thoughts on that?
They have homeless people in New York, too.
Yeah.
This is true. We have Teresa's on the line from Silver Spring. Teresa, your turn.
Oh, hi. Yeah, this is Teresa Cameron. And I wanted to point out that one of the big assets in Silver Spring is the entertainment district that we put together over 13 years ago now. And it's really attracted a lot of really interesting community members and businesses. So I think when you look at retail, and I work in D.C. in a Main Street program right now, when you look at retail and businesses and corporations, I think spotlighting some of our small home-run businesses and our arts and entertainment businesses, which we have many in Silver Spring, is kind of a good place for us to be. And I don't think we need to worry so much about attracting, a lot of these large corporations because, we don't need them as much. We do need Discover space filled, and I live 5 blocks from there, so I'm concerned. But I don't want us to forget about all the other things that happen there.
Okay.
Teresa, of course, always nice to hear from you. And I think you make a great point about, again, broadening my comments about assets to the fact that we are an arts and entertainment district. And again, seeking input from those folks in those industries, what would help them continue to thrive in the community? We need to hear from them. I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but I do hope that all of the people who will be working on this, whether it's Discovery or Economic Development Corporation, everyone, again, really pay attention to the feet on the ground and the genuine conversations that need to happen with all members of the community.
Before we move on, we should note that when Discovery came in, there was this notion that Silver Spring would be the hub of this new sort of media capital that Washington and its suburbs could become, and that there was this enormous video production industry that developed in the area that now seems somewhat endangered with the departure of Discovery, with National Geographic being for sale, the Natural History Museum's IMAX theaters shut down. And we're going to have a future show focusing just on this, but at least we could touch on this, Dan, and talk about how they are not the first media company to leave the area. Is a government town like Washington just not sexy enough to bring in big companies and create this media hub that was envisioned originally?
God, I hope not. the irony is I liken D.C. to L.A. in that we are known for one thing. L.A., of course, is the entertainment industry. We're known for government. But there are so many other industries that thrive in the shadow of it. And I think there is opportunity to create more industries here. And Montgomery County's done an awesome job with biotech. Silver Spring is home to an awesome pharmaceutical company, homegrown, called United Therapeutics, that is building its own local industry there. So we have that opportunity.
Dan Reed is a columnist for Washingtonian, an urban planner and real estate agent. Kathy Stevens is executive director of the Montgomery Coalition for Adult English Literacy. Thanks to both of you for coming in today. I'm Mark Fisher.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.